You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details. Hello and welcome to the Mash Those Buttons show, where we cover games, community, culture, and everything in between. I am Jared, but you can call me Ja, and I am here with the games industry public defender and the scourge of Ironforge, Nick Zelenkevich.
You know, normally I say, hey, how's everybody doing? I'm scared to ask that this week.
Yeah, this is going to be an episode of the everything in between, to be honest with you. It is. You know, we usually organize these shows. Like, we don't just come up on like a Sunday night, or like, well, it was Thursday night, now it's gonna be Sunday night, but on a Sunday night and slap a show together. Like, it's usually organized throughout the week, and sometimes we have stuff like that we plan weeks in advance, you know, so because some of the things that we produce take a couple weeks to do. And this last week it was so distracting. I just couldn't do anything. I can't say I couldn't do anything, but
you know, you're very productive for your I couldn't do anything.
You know, like my I was just so distracted throughout the week, you know. It was hard for me to get what I needed done. I even forgot, like, so I have a meet, like, so Kura Bar is like an associate producer on the show, and we meet early in the week, and I just totally forgot about it. How am I going to forget about my own meeting with Corey? You know what I'm saying? He hit me up later in the week. He's like, hey, is everything okay? And I wanted to say, have you looked at the fucking news? You know, but I didn't. Like, you know, he meant it in the best way. Don't get me wrong. He just wanted to check on me and make sure everything was all right. but yeah, like, I really didn't. I can't put a good show together this week. My head's not in the right space, you know, and just for the, like, I mean, I let's be fucking frank here. We're talking about George Floyd, you know, we're talking about the protests. We're talking about the response to the protests, you know, which is that have been, that's been the worst part, you know, that's been the worst part. Cause unfortunately, at this point I'm used to seeing police kill black people. I'm used to seeing it my whole life. You know, the thing on Twitter I shared, because, you know, people were writing Nickelodeon, actually, I think it was all the Viacom channels, but they had like an eight minute thing that kind of showed up on the screen and said, I can't breathe, some breathing sounds. And people were freaking out that their kids were watching it. Like, why is my child being exposed to this? You know, they're too young for that. So, and the one woman was talking about her 8 year old. So I remember being, I think I was 6 years old. Was I 6 maybe 7? I can't remember the exact year, but I remember being 6 or 7 and seeing the coverage of Rodney King, you know, getting the shit kicked out of him on national television. Now, that's not something that my mother could have just swept under the rug, like, you shouldn't be seeing that, go away. She had to explain to me what was happening, why it was happening, how it's been happening since way before I was born. And there I was. I am now, that is knowledge that I cannot, that, you know, that knowledge affects me for the rest of my life. And as a responsible parent, she has to do that. She has to tell me about it, because it is something that can affect me. This is something that affects my future. You know, I can't just let it go. So, you know, you got parents being mad at that. You got people mad that Sony pushed back the PS5 reveal, or that Steam is pushing back their summer games, you know, probably sale, but the Summer Games Festival, you know, EA's pushing back announcements. Everybody's pushing back announcements and stuff like that, and in support of Black Lives Matter. And I'm like, okay, that's great. And let's be honest, you just don't want your marketing message to be muddled by the protests and stuff like that, you know, to be real in most cases, you know. Am I right, Nick?
You know, for the most part, I think it's interesting though, Destiny and Bungie is the one company that hasn't pushed their announcement back. And so I'm curious to see how that plays out, because in every instance, I'm not surprised that things got, whatever got pushed back. This is the one that I'm like, they're going to go forward with it. It's getting, and admittedly, they still have 2 days. They could delay it. I don't think they will, but it's going to be interesting to see how that, how that plays in the room, as it were.
I don't know. Bungie staff, the CEO of Bungie, they put their work in, this weekend. They got gassed by Seattle police while they were out at a protest. So they put their work in. I'm not going to, they did more than, an empty statement. They were actually out there.
They probably knew they needed to do that. Not the, just gas me for the Twitter feed just so I can get the credit.
Yeah. But it's just been incredibly distracting. Obviously everybody's covering it. And this is a huge turning point, I think, in the history, right? When I honestly didn't think so. When I first saw what happened to George Floyd, I was like, these guys are gonna get away with it again. But I think this one was just direct enough, right? It was just direct enough. Like, you literally saw this guy, if you watch the video, he died. He watched him slowly die on the ground, for what, 9 minutes? And I'm like, that's thing, enough is enough. Four police officers sat there. Well, one actively killing him, the other three just watching, And the people had enough. And the thing that's just crazy is that this shouldn't be a political thing. It shouldn't be a political thing, because Black Lives Matter is about police accountability. That's it. The matter does disproportionately affect Black people, but it's a problem for everybody. I mean, Bob told me a story about something that happened to him a few months ago, where he was at an event, a sports event. So I guess it had to happen late last year. We had a sports event, and a cop freaks out on him and throws him to the ground. Excessive force. This is something that they do on a regular basis. And I don't want to be called a cop hater here. One, the bulk of my interactions with the police have been positive. The bulk, I will say. Not all, but the bulk. My brother is a cop. Well, he was a cop. He's retired now. I have a cousin. She was also a police officer. She's retired now. I got friends that are police officers. So I'm definitely not a cop hater. I just want police to be held accountable when they do something wrong, just like the protesters are out there. And, you can talk about the looting all you want, and I don't think looting is a great idea. I don't support looting or riots, but honestly, it is the last thing. It is the lowest thing on my list of priorities with all this. I mean, with all everything going on, with all the protests, I think it took over a week for anybody to even talk about police reform on the other side. That could have quelled, or at least, brought down the tension of the protests, possibly, reduce the amount of rioting, if not getting rid of it altogether. But there was no talk of police accountability. There was no talk of reform. There's no defense for having somebody on the ground handcuffed and you're still just choking them out like that, And it's not like this is an isolated incident. I mean, you can go on YouTube and find an entire playlist of police beating the shit out of people who are already handcuffed or already subdued. There's a video that's kind of tough to watch. I don't even know why the police were in this hotel with these two kids. I mean, because they couldn't be any older. No older than 25, these two people. And the police are pointing assault rifles at them, telling them to, they're on the ground, and the cops are making them, walk on their knees forward to them. And the one kid doesn't have a belt on. His pants start falling down, so he goes to pull his pants up so he can walk. Cop shoots him. kills him. White kid, by the way, not a black kid there. You know, this is a problem. A problem using excessive force. And excessive force is using lethal weapons against people who do not, who, one, aren't a threat, but two, they don't have, you know, weapons themselves. And yet this is a political issue? We have a country divided because of it? Are you fucking kidding me? That's what bothers me. You know what I'm saying? That's the part that's been distracting. Because at this point, I'm used to seeing the cops abuse their power. I am used to seeing cops kill black people. You want to know what it's like growing up black in America? I was trained to survive police encounters. Were you? You know? Like, were you trained from a young age to survive police encounters? Don't move. Make sure the light's on. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. Don't let them see who you go for your glove box. Don't keep your registration in your glove box. Don't, you know, try to get your license out of your pocket as fast as possible, because you don't want them to see you going for your pocket. You know what I'm saying? Look to see where they have their hand when they're coming up to your car. Like, I do that every time I've gotten pulled over, you know? And half of the times that I've gotten pulled over, the cop had his hand on his weapon already coming up to the car, you know? And I'm the one that's got to stay calm. But I was trained to do so as a kid, you know? Like, a lot of people, they say I have like a really calm demeanor, you know? Except when I play Overwatch with idiots. But that's what they tend to say, but that's not, I don't really think that's just a natural thing. That comes from me being taught to suppress my anger. That's what you do. Can't let them see you angry. Got to suppress your anger. Got to push down, because you don't want to look angry, because then they'll think you're a threat. You know, that's me growing up as a black man, you know, and that's my mom just making sure that, you know, that once I leave the house, once I'm out of her wing of safety, that I'm able to make it back home, you know? Yeah, my wife, her son, he's 15 now. He's going to be 16 soon. And I try not to bring it up, but he is about to enter the most dangerous part of his life, right? So recently, he has like a little beard going on, right? Not this glorious thing I have on my face, but yeah, he has a kind of like a beard going on, and I was going to go with him to the store. I was going to pick him up like an electric shaver. It's one of those, right? You could just use a foil shaver, take it right off. And, you know, I was going to take him there. I was going to pick one up for him. I was going to show him how to use it. And right before we go, he tells mom, no, I want to keep my beard a little bit longer. She's like, he's going to keep his beard a little bit longer. I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So, you know, later on that night, me and her are talking. I was like, you know, with the pandemic and everything, it's fine for him to keep his beard because he's not really going anywhere. However, he's going to have to shave it off. He needs to have a clean face because he needs to look as young as possible for as long as possible. You know, that's why he actually wanted to keep the beard, because he said, you know, it makes him look a little older. But now it's like, fuck, I have to talk to him about making sure he looks his age. You know, when we go out, people probably, like, they already think he's like 17, 18 years old. He's fucking 15 years old, you know? And that's a problem. That is a huge problem. Statistically, that's a problem that has been studied over and over again. That, most importantly, the police think that black kids are older than they are, so they treat them more harshly. You know, they don't get the same breaks, even in court, you know? And now that's a conversation. That's an additional conversation I have. Like, sorry, man, you can't have that beard. You can't go out by yourself with that beard, because you need to look 16 while you're out there. People need to know that you're a kid, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. It's the response to me is more frustrating than the actual act, because unfortunately, I'm desensitized to it. I'm used to it, you know, and I shouldn't be. That shouldn't be the case. I shouldn't be used to it, you know? I've already, like, even, like, they've charged that cop with second degree murder, and I'm already prepared for him to not, you know, to not be charged, you know, for him to get it, to get off with it. They'll find a way, you know. And it's just infuriating. So yeah, I mean, I guess I've just been really distracted this week. You know, even turning off Twitter, it's everywhere. You turn off Twitter, it's on Facebook. Turn off Facebook, it's on YouTube. Turn off YouTube, it's on the news. You know, I got friends that are upset. They're mad. You know, they're talking about it. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, games are a place you should be able to escape the real world. We can't. Sorry, that is just the reality of the situation. You know, an issue that should affect everybody, that it does affect everybody, and everybody should want the same thing, complete accountability, we're divided on, you know. You know, somebody asked, you know, I shouldn't say they asked me, but they, like, I saw them ask, you know, well, what did he do? Like, it does not matter what he did. It wasn't like he died fighting the cops or running away from the cops, you know? Even if he was fighting the cops and the cops shoot an unarmed man, you know, that's still a problem on its own. But this guy was face down on the ground, handcuffed. And the cop just put his body weight on him easily. I mean, that guy, I mean, he had to weigh, I would say, at least 200 pounds, 210, maybe, plus whatever equipment he had on him. It's crazy. And you have the audacity to ask, well, what did he do? It doesn't matter at that point, you know? So, yeah. If we put a show together, it was going to be an absolute shit show, to be honest with you. So I'm figuring, like, you know, why don't we just talk about this? Air out my grievances a little bit. And if you don't like it, I mean, whatever, man. Our Patreon makes $35 a month. Like, you know, you know, I get a little money from Twitch, I think, like, once a quarter, maybe. I mean, this whole operation pretty much runs off of my dime. So having some people have me interrupt their gaming time or their fantasy time, I could, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't matter. I'm not telling you to get out there and start protesting and shit like that. But if you can't listen to this for 20 minutes, you know, if this bothers you, then I think you might need to look at yourself, you know. The funny thing is, like, I think my perspective, it's a bit shifted when it comes, it has been shifted when it comes to racism, mainly because of my experience with gaming communities, right? Because I've been doing this for a long time, you know, before it got popular, before it was easy to find communities and link up with communities. Like, now, I mean, you trip over communities all the time. People are throwing their communities at you. Join my Discord. You know, join my Facebook group. They are throwing, join my, you know, come to our Reddit. They're throwing their communities at you. You know, I would say the first real community I got involved with was the Unreal community. And back then, like, you know, you can find websites, which wasn't as easy because Google, first of all, it didn't exist. And then it wasn't that great. You know, yeah, you can find websites that had to do with the game, but then you know how long it would take for you to find, you know, their IRC channels if you didn't already know where to look, or, you know, or find, you know, certain teams, Team Speaks and Ventrellos, you know. And the thing that I've kind of learned, because usually, you know, even back then, you view racism as like a solid object, right? Is a thing. This is racism. And people, it's a bucket. People are either in it or they're out the bucket. And it's not. It really isn't. Racism is a fucking onion. Like, it is multi-layered. You know. No, you got your black people should be slave racists, you know? That's one layer. You got your separate but equal racists, you know, you got, that's a whole different layer. That's a whole different layer, you know, because they, a lot of them don't even think they're racist, you know. Then you have the races that are just kind of like, oh, well, black people are less educated because they come from urban areas. And it's a shame, you know, it's a real shame. That's racism too, by the way, you know. And a lot of racism, I find, is, well, actually all racism, obviously, not all racism, because all racism, well, some racism is just born from straight up hate, right? You know, and it's more of an internal reflection, but it's like just straight up hate. But a lot of racism is born out of like ignorance, like lack of diversity in some areas lead to ignorance. And some things people just don't know. They just don't know certain things, you know, or their lack of experience with being, you know, with diversity leads them to, you know, have certain views that are wrong or racist or something like that. And all it takes is exposure and time. Exposure and time. And over time, they, you know, will become normal functioning human beings. You know what I'm saying? And I think that, like, gaming has taught me that, especially gaming online with communities. Because if you think it's bad now, you ain't seen shit, dog. Like, stuff that will get you kicked off of Facebook, suspended on Twitter, you know, stuff like that, was just, it was let loose on forums. You wanted, you know, freedom of speech? You want your First Amendment, rights observed, even though, like, internet forums don't actually count for that? But, you know, you want freedom of speech? Go to 2000s forums, and you will have your freedom of speech. It was the internet was the frontier, and it was rough. And you know, I have friends now that I know as a fact were racist, because I was able to look back and see some things that they said previously. But their interactions dealing with more diverse communities over time changes their mind, you know. Like, how many people are surprised, or were surprised, like, oh, you work in IT? You know how to do this? You know how to do that? You know how to program? Yeah, I know how to do all that, you know. And all you need sometimes is to put that doubt in their head that maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I don't know everything about these people, you know. And yeah. So, I mean, that's one thing that, you know, gaming taught me, is that racism is multi-layered. And I think games and hobbies are in a unique position to bring people together, right? Not in a cliche way either, but like basically to, like, you don't have to throw, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't throw, you know, what would be considered a social justice, like anti-racism would be. I'm not saying don't throw that in people's faces and don't talk about it. That's not what I'm getting ready to say here. So before I even say it, I just want to put that out there. But I'm saying not everybody needs to have it thrown in their face. And for some people, it needs to be a bit more subtle. Some people need to have it thrown in their face straight up. Like, different people respond to different things, you know, but some people need to be like incepted. You know what I'm saying? Like, that idea needs to come from the inside. That maybe I was wrong about this topic. Maybe I was wrong about this subject. And games do that for people, because you can play with somebody for years and never know that they're a racist, right? Because the first thing that like a racist will do is they'll exclude you from that group. Ja isn't like the other black people. He's cool. Trust me. You know, they'll exclude you from what they think about the group as a whole, you know. And even if like, well, not Ja, not this black guy, not that black guy, you know, or this gay guy's cool. Let's put that in there. This gay guy's cool. You know, he's fine. But the rest of them, you know, whatever. And then eventually, like, you know, just with more exposure, more experience, that train of thought can kind of go away, you know? And like I said, games and hobbies are in a unique position to really help with that, because you're already meeting in a place of agreement. I like World of Warcraft. You like World of Warcraft. You know, I like Apex Legends. You like Apex Legends. I like Unreal Tournament. You like Unreal Tournament. hey, you're pretty good at this game. You know what I'm saying? And then you can kind of start from there. So, I mean, you can see it over time, things have gotten better than they were, right? You know, to a degree. You know, people don't just run around saying nigger anymore and it being okay. Even now, like 2020? I want to say 10 years ago, you could have got away with saying faggot. You could have got away with calling somebody a faggot 10 years ago. And now, nah, not at all. Not okay at all, you know? So I'm not going to say there hasn't been any progress. From a societal standpoint, yes, there has been progress. But racism is systemic. And that's why the police still act the way that they act. And that's how you get George Floyd dying. You know? I mean, I think in May, six black people died at the hands of police. In a 4-week period. That's more than two people a week. That's more than one person a week getting killed by police. You know? Actually, five were killed by police. The sixth was killed by, that was the one, Aubrey, where he got hunted down by those two guys. So, yeah. But the thing is, that happened months ago. Months ago. And the police didn't do anything about it. You know? Actually, in that case, get even more specific, the police told the DA that they could arrest this guy, that they have enough to arrest him. And the DA told him not to do it. Buddies. Systemic racism. And now, this is time for the system to change. I think we finally got society to a point where they can actually change the system. Because that's the beauty of this country. Because you have a lot of people who are like, things will never change. It'll never be okay. The good thing about this country, as much as the politicians and the rich manipulate it, you know, there are still basic rules in place that can help sway, you know, things, you know. But in countries like the United States or Canada or the UK, it's the people that have to be manipulated, which means the people actually do have power. So if the people want something bad enough, it can happen. And that's what we're seeing right now. I mean, Minnesota, I think it just came out today that Minneapolis is looking to defund their police department, you know, because obviously police reform isn't working. It's just not. We were talking earlier, Nick Camden, they Camden, New Jersey, they defunded their police department, you know? So I think we're finally getting there. I thank all the protesters for going out there. It's been rough. I think seeing that was like one of the hardest things. Like, you know, the police are being pressed about their brutal tactics. They're pressed about brutality. And, you know, how they de-escalate. And what do they do to the peaceful protesters? Let's not even talk about the rioters. Because the rioters weren't out for the curfew. You know what I'm saying? How are they handling it? You can find video after video. NYPD pushing people around. Beating people up. Buffalo police pushing people down. They're knocking their heads. Fucking Philadelphia Police Department cornering protesters on 676, and then shooting tear gas into the crowd. If you don't live near Philadelphia, like 676, when I heard that that's where it happened, I'm like, that's fucking dangerous. They have nowhere to go. You know what I'm saying? There's nowhere for them to run out of 676. Because it's not a long highway. It's what would you say, Nick? 2 miles?
If that.
It's like a 2 mile stretch that goes through Center City, Philadelphia, but it's under the city. Right. It's like kind of like an underpass. I don't know what the structural term for that is. But yeah, they cornered them and then shot tear gas into the group. You know, people who have no weapons, they have signs. That's it.
And that's what they've been doing at a bunch of these protests is kettling them, where they completely surround the protesters. So they got nowhere to go. And then they just wait.
Yeah.
To see who's gonna move first, and then at some point they just start clobbering people.
LAPD was kicking people's ass. The NYPD kicking people's ass. Chicago PD, you know, everywhere you looked, What happened in front of the fucking White House so that Trump could go take a goddamn picture, you know? Which is, I mean, come on. Like, it's a propaganda piece. It's just a propaganda. It was a propaganda piece. And, yeah. But the fact that the police just did not, like, they don't care. And they don't care because they know that they're going to get away with it. Or at least they were. We'll see what happens now. Because if, I know Los Angeles, they've removed, 150 million from the police budget. They didn't defund the police, but they removed 150 million. Minnesota, Minneapolis, they are looking to defund the police totally. And yeah, we'll see what this trends that continue. Because this is not going away anytime soon. You know, like, enough is enough. It really is. And enough is enough. So I, you know, people say, oh, they want to return back to normal. Normal's not good for us. You know, I shouldn't have to have a talk with my son-in-law about how to survive a police encounter. You know what I'm saying? That shouldn't be a talk that we have to have, or the fact that, no, you can't grow a beard. Sorry, kid. You know, that shouldn't be a conversation that I have to have with him. You know, I shouldn't tell him that he has to be very aware of how he is acting in public, because you don't want to act weird. Because somebody might call the cops, you know, if they, you know, if he's acting like a 16-year-old, but they think he's a 20-year-old or 19-year-old, somebody might call the cops on him, you know. Actually, shit, I got a story about that too. And that's not me, this is him again. So, his mom dropped him off at the movie theaters, dropped him off early, too early, probably. Well, definitely too early. So he buys his ticket. He goes into the theater. The movie is still playing from before. It's like close to the end of the movie. So he gets in there and he realizes, like, you know, that the movie is actually not over. And he gets up and he goes to walk out. And then he's like, whatever, I'll just stay in here. So he goes back and he sits down. And there was only like one or two other people in the movie theater at the time. They were there together. They leave the movie theater and they go out and they tell somebody at the front, hey, there's a guy acting really weird in the theater we just left, you know? And thankfully, the person at the front was just like, yeah, whatever. You know, it was probably some kid. And it's like, okay, fine. Yeah, whatever you say, you know? And luckily they did that, because the last thing we need is like them to, you know, freak out, call the cops, say, hey, we just got a report that somebody was acting weird in theater XYZ. And then the police going into a dark movie theater, and there he is. You know, it's the last thing we need. So we got lucky there. You know, I don't want to hear that, oh, I'm making stuff up, or, you know, I'm worried about nothing. Like, no, these are real concerns. And these are concerns that we shouldn't have to have, you know? So like I said, normal isn't good for us. There needs to be a new normal, and everybody should want a new normal. Everybody should want a new normal. Aren't you tired of hearing about racism? I am. Aren't you tired of hearing about all these like stories of, you know, white privilege and having a leg up, and, you know, aren't you tired of it? Like, I'm tired of it, but it's true. You know what I'm saying? There needs to be a new normal. And that normal is everybody, you know, starts at the same spot. And when that just does not happen right now, you know? So I'll talk for about this longer than I expect to be perfectly honest with you. No script, no talking points, no nothing. Just Nick being patient on the other camera.
Well, I got nothing to say. What do you want me to say?
No, I mean, nothing. Like, yeah. I mean, this is an episode of the Mash Those Buttons show. I told you this is the everything in between.
Yeah.
You know, games are diverse. Gamers are as diverse as the human race. There was an article that said that shit a couple weeks ago, I think on gamesindustry.biz, talking about your audience, like about gaming audiences. Like, gamers are diverse it was a Polygon article, the one about the new gamers.
Oh.
The gamers are diverse as the human race. Like, no shit, Sherlock. Everybody plays games. Everybody plays games. Everybody wants to have fun, you know? But you should be able to do so, you know, without thinking about the color of your skin, without thinking about your sexual orientation, you know? You should be able to. Like, you should be able to play a game without having to hear somebody call somebody else a fag.
Well, no, I agree with that, but when you said without thinking about your sexual orientation, I'm like, they're like, if you're playing some of the romance games, like, your sexual orientation is going to come into play there.
Hey, man, I guess you're technically speaking right, Nick. Thank you.
If somebody says, like this, you know, they're about to be racist or something, and it was like all the obvious stuff, like, you know, like, I have a black friend and all that kind of stuff. But then one of them was like, just to play devil's advocate, ... And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I play devil's advocate all the time. Like, I am not justifying racism when I do it.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, that's not it's not the same thing. You play devil's advocate for the games industry.
Yeah.
Not for the system. You know, that's the thing, but it is true. Like, you know, I don't even want to get into the All Lives Matter thing. I mean, there's so many, it's been explained ad nauseum. There's so many, you know, examples of, like, you know, if somebody's house is on fire, you wouldn't say all houses matter. You know what I'm saying? Even in hospitals, when you go into the emergency room, they don't treat every case the same, you know? But even, like, you know, it's like, you know, at this point, if you still think that all that Black Lives Matter means that only Black Lives Matter, you're purposefully being ignorant, you know? And if you do think all lives matter, say Black Lives Matter. Because Black lives are lives, right? So, or if you think Black Lives Matter, you know, act like it. You should be outraged when an unarmed man is killed by the police. There should be, when an unarmed person is killed by the police, the question shouldn't be, well, what did he do? The question is, why did they kill him? You know, he was unarmed. What happened? You know? So, and I know the police have a hard job. It's a real hard job. That's why I'm not a cop. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's why I'm not a cop. It's why I'm not a soldier. You know? It's a really tough job. And, you know, you choose to be a police officer. What, you know, and that choice should come from wanting to help and protect and serve. But you know what? There are tons of cops out there that got that went to be a police officer because their other ventures weren't working. Out of college, can't get a job in their field, you know, maybe the artwork's not working, you know, stuff like that. And they go to be a police officer. It's like a backup for them. And I don't think that should be the case. You know? So yeah, I think it's just time to wrap this up. I'm not going to do any of the, I didn't do any of our call to actions that we normally do in the beginning. I'm not going to do them now, you know.
If you're a first time listener, you picked a hell of an episode to come in on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you definitely did. But I don't know, man. Like, it just, this is, you know, we just talked about for the last, 40 minutes, what's been on my mind for the last week, you know, that's it. What's been on my mind for the last week? And me being just frustrated with the fact that this is divisive. This shouldn't be divisive, you know? So that's going to be it from us. Next week, we should be back to our normal schedule, normal stuff. Hopefully we'll have some good stuff for you. That's it. I just remember, I mean, Black Lives Matter. It does. Like, just remember that. And if you don't like it, you don't have to listen to this show. Nobody's forcing you to. So. Okay, why are you thinking like that, Nick? Is somebody
scenario where somebody's being forced to listen to this show?
Yeah. don't know. And I don't know. I'm not really trying to make a statement here or anything like that. There are people who are much better at talking about this, way more eloquent, than I am. And I'm more of an action person. I'm not much of a talker.
You're not much of a talker. You've been in the podcasting game for what, like 8 years?
Well, I don't mean like that. Like, you know, like specifically about like, you know, an issue like this. Like, you know, I'm more about, well, this is the problem. How do we fix it? Or what can I do to help? So I don't know. Maybe I'll roll out a program, something to help. Something I got to figure out where I can fit in with this. I don't have all the answers. So, all right. Well, thank you for listening. If you continue listening, I do appreciate that. Thank you very much. We'll catch you next week.
Black Lives Matter. Be safe out there.